Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about refresh my heart. Refresh my heart. This word, refresh, which in the Hebrew is nefash. We see some examples of how God was refreshed on the Sabbath, about how the Apostle Paul prays in Philemon or asks in Philemon that his heart would be refreshed. How a generous person can refresh others and becomes refreshed as they do so. This is a word that you actually see all throughout the Bible. Refresh has ties in the Old Testament in the Hebrew language to the soul, about being refreshed in our soul, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions, to be refreshed in there. But we're going to get started with prayer, and we'll dive into this a little bit more. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves and get our hearts and minds positioned in the light before our time of communion today. So let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. I ask you to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's go through the other half of prayer. And this is where we talk about our four fundamentals. Our four fundamentals. Masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. These are things we need to keep putting into practice every single day. Keep putting them into practice every single day. And the more we practice them, the more we master these fundamentals, I believe the better your days are going to go. So our first fundamental, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. But that transfer, it happens through the forgiveness of sins. So the first step in getting positioned in the light is receiving that forgiveness. And that forgiveness has to flow through us out to other people in the world. Just receiving that forgiveness from God. We got to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget ourselves. And we got to walk in forgiveness with other people. Is there anywhere in those three that a little work needs to happen? Receiving it from God, giving it to yourself, or walking in forgiveness with other people? That's our first step. And what's the motivation behind all that? It was love. Love was the motivation for God's forgiveness. He could have left us off on our own, but he chose the way of love. He chose to forgive us, receiving that love from him, letting it flow through you where you love yourself the way he's loved you, and loving other people the way that God has loved us. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love each other as I have loved you. To walk in the light, to be positioned in the light, is to be positioned in love and forgiveness. God is light, God is love. They're one and the same. And everything we receive from God is received by faith. He's given us everything he has in Christ. He's given us everything he has. I think we don't fully know the extent of everything that he's given us in Christ. Here's just a short list. He's given us forgiveness and love. He's given us his peace and his joy and his faith, his gentleness and kindness and goodness and greatness. He's given us himself. He's given us his presence. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you. We have this partnership with him where he refreshes our hearts continually. He's given us his health and energy and his kingdom and his spirit and his mind and his wisdom. Given us his time and finances and resources. He's given us everything he has and put it in Christ. And we receive all of it by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is thanksgiving and praise. Just to stay positioned in thanksgiving and praise today. One of the most important things you could do. And remember, you're either positioned in the light or you're not. It's like a light switch. Either it's on or it's off. There's no in between. Either we're in the light, that's like the supply valve. We talk about a pipeline of living water where these rivers of living water are flowing through you. We just got to flow through those three levels. It got to be received from God. It got to flow through you out into the world. First step to get the supply turned on. Let's get positioned in the light. Thanksgiving and praise and gratitude and forgiveness. Walking in love. Then we want to expand the capacity of that pipeline so that more can flow through it. And how do we do that? We magnify the light. To magnify the light, to magnify God, is to magnify all that's going well, is to magnify all God's already done in your life, to meditate on his mighty works and all he's done, how far he's already brought you in your life, to meditate on his word and give his word a higher priority in your life, to meditate on his steadfast, unfailing love, his faithfulness, that nothing's impossible for him, to meditate on his mighty works, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises, to meditate on those things, to set your minds on the things above, and whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. And as you do that, it's like it expands the capacity. We're building a bigger pipeline where more can flow through you. We're magnifying God, making him bigger and greater than the issues and problems in our life. Jesus says, be of good cheer. In this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. God does give us the choice. We could choose to magnify darkness and focus on all that's wrong, all the issues and all the problems, and to magnify them and to make them bigger than God. He does give us that choice. And it's learning to recognize the symptoms and turn it back around quickly whenever we realize that we're off track. Whenever I realize that the light switch got turned off and I'm focused on the wrong thing. The good news is it only takes 1 second to turn it right back around, get positioned back in the light, to start magnifying that light again. But we have to get good at recognizing the symptoms. When I'm positioned in darkness, when I'm magnifying darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive and pressure field, confusing, like there's no way out, like you're trapped or you're stuck. Feels hopeless for your situation. Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the dread of the future. Usually we're lacking presence. But when we turn it back around Everything feels light and free and easy and energizing. Feels effortless. There's the peace, there's the joy that are flowing through you. Those are your cues, those are your indicators of where you're positioned and what you're magnifying. Getting good at recognizing those symptoms. And then as we go throughout our day, we got to do a good job of staying tuned in. Every day he's trying to lead us and guide us and direct us, teach us and train us. He's trying to lead us one graceful step at a time to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. But we got to stay tuned in for his leading and his direction in our lives. As you take these first steps, you get positioned in the light, you start magnifying the light. All of a sudden, your ability to discern his leading and direction in your life gets so much more clear. It increases greatly. Revelation and insight and wisdom is going to start flowing. You're going to know what to do. When the lights are on, you can see what to do. You can see which way to go. Staying tuned in for his leading and direction today. One of my favorite things to do every night before bed. Just taking a few minutes to ask a simple question. God, what was it you're trying to teach me or show me today? Did I miss anything? And then just get still and write down whatever you hear. Do that for a few minutes every night. It will change your life. But then we got to put it into action. You can stay positioned in the light. You can magnify the light. You can know what to do, but then we got to do it. We got to do the things that you know to do today. When you're unsure, you wait and you keep waiting for his leading and direction. But then when you know, it's time to go and put it into action. What do you know to do today? Taking action on those things and doing it a new way as well. Trusting and relying on him to empower you to do it in his strength. Trusting that as I get started, he's going to show up. He's going to help me to walk out these things that I know to do in my life. Because they're meant to be done in partnership with him. They're meant to be done in partnership with him. So let's take a look at this, refresh my heart. A few verses I've been thinking about lately. So it started with, I got two scriptures on the screen here. What started this whole train of thought for me was this verse. I actually have it second on the screen here in Exodus 31, verses 16 through 17, talking about the Sabbath day. Has God given his commandments to the people? And he says, the Israelites must keep the Sabbath, celebrating it as a permanent covenant for the generations to come. It's a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. But on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. That last phrase, God rested and he was refreshed, caught my attention because God doesn't get tired. It's not like he was worn out. And I began to think about what's going on here. God was refreshed. Why did he need to be refreshed? God was refreshed. Why did he need to be refreshed? Then I began to see, I was reading in my normal Bible reading in Philemon chapter 1. The Apostle Paul uses this phrase, refresh my heart, a few times. He says, I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. So we can see here, we can refresh each other in Christ. And I think what we're going to see here is that what happened on the seventh day? On the seventh day, God rested. But I think we're going to see here, after God created man, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life into Adam. He breathed the breath of life into Adam. We're going to see here, there's a connection between that and this verse here. So let's take a look at this one more verse. And then we'll talk about this word refresh. Proverbs 11, 24 through 26. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous soul will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. The people will curse the hoarder of grain, but blessing will crown the one who sells it. So this word refresh, in the original Hebrew language, is this word nephash. You see it on here, N-A-P-H-A-S-H. This word nephash, it means to breathe. It means like a current of air coming into you. Think of, when I think of this word, what I think of, this is the word that's used when it says God breathed life into Adam and he became a living being. He became a living soul. God breathed. Think of this current of air. Think of the Holy Spirit coming in and refreshing you. So what's happening here? Let's take a look at these verses again. God rested on the seventh day and he was refreshed. How did he get refreshed, I believe? He breathed into Adam and it refreshed him. I don't think that it was so much that he was tired. He breathed into Adam. We were meant to live life in community with people. This is God's design. As he breathed into Adam, it refreshed himself even more. We see in Philemon, Paul says, refresh my heart in Christ. He uses this phrase a couple times. And one person, how do we do this? How does this refreshing happen? One person gives freely, yet gains even more. I don't think God needed to be necessarily refreshed, but he gave freely of his spirit into Adam, and he gained even more. Another withholds what is right only to become poor. A generous soul will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I think the key here, as I've thought about this, I've been meditating on these scriptures for probably a week now. I think the key here is it goes back to generosity versus stinginess. As we are generous with other people, it can refresh them. And what happens? This beautiful, amazing thing happens in the middle. When you begin to refresh others, you get refreshed in the process. When you are generous and you refresh others, you get refreshed in the process. Now, this is not just money. Money's part of it. You can be generous with your money, but you can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your affection, with your family. You can be generous with kind words. You can be generous in every way you can think of. To be generous versus to be stingy. What is the motivation behind stingy? The motivation behind being generous is love. It's supposed to be anyway. The motivation behind being generous is supposed to be love. What's the motivation behind stinginess? Fear. Fear of not having enough. Fear of running out. Why are we not generous with our time sometimes? Because we fear we don't have enough. We got too many other things to do. Why are we not generous with our money? Because we fear we're not going to have enough. Why are we not generous with our affection with one another sometimes? Usually fear motivated as well, or looking out for ourselves. We're too busy and focused on other things. Generous soul will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's an interesting thing. We've talked about this on our partner Zooms. When I first felt God prompting me to do these daily communion meditations, it seemed like a big undertaking to do this every single day. But as I've done this, I actually don't. I've had a couple of times where I missed a day because maybe I recorded and got ahead, you know, by a couple of days on some recordings. And I missed a day every now and then. And I could tell a difference in myself when I didn't do these things every day. It's this amazing thing that happens when you make it a goal to refresh others, to be generous with others. You do get refreshed in the process. It's an amazing thing. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. That you breathed your life into us. You refreshed our hearts, and we're asking for your help today, Lord, to get this right. To help us be generous, just like you are in every sense of the word, in every way, so that we can be like you, be more and more like you. We can refresh others and also be refreshed in the process. Father, we thank you for this bread. And then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it. Receive it." That he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. The cup of God's wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." That forgiveness of sins, motivated by love, that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God, which is truly an amazing thing. I believe as you experience this refreshing happening in your life, what's going to happen? It's going to help you to know him better. To know his heart and his love and his goodness and his kindness and his greatness that much more. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. How can you refresh somebody else today? Make that your focus. You'd be amazed how much more refreshed you get in the process. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.